Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Alaska has submitted a first-of-its-kind plan to reduce statewide greenhouse gas emissions that drive global warming to the federal government. As Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George reports, it's part of the Biden administration's ambitious effort to tackle climate change.
President Biden has committed the U.S. to cut its emissions roughly in half by 2030. One of the administration's biggest tools is the Inflation Reduction Act, the law passed in 2021 and directed billions of dollars to help fight climate change. To access some of that money, states are required to submit something called a Climate Action Plan, which outlines their biggest sources of emissions and ideas to reduce them. Alaska changed the name slightly, calling it a sustainable energy, not climate action plan. Department of Environmental Conservation Program Manager Morgan Frank led work on the project.
We were really focused on energy in this priority phase. That's where we keep hearing a lot of grantee interest around making energy more affordable, more sustainable. And, you know, since we're focusing on that, we decided to call it that.
The plan lists 17 priorities, mostly focused on building more renewable energy and helping homes and businesses become more energy efficient. One proposal would expand the Bradley Lake Hydroelectric Project to supply more clean energy to the rail belt. Another effort would replace fossil fuel heating with more efficient electric heat pumps in Southeast Alaska homes. Another project would fund weatherization for homes statewide. That can mean adding insulation or upgrading windows and doors to make a house more energy efficient. Griffin Plush with the Alaska Municipal League worked on the plan. He said weatherization especially can cut families' energy bills.
We know that residential weatherization makes a really big impact in terms of energy burden for individual families in Alaska.
The plan also lists the biggest sources of emissions in the state, including industry, electricity generation, and air transportation. The emissions impact from oil that's produced in Alaska but burned elsewhere isn't included in the state's analysis. The plan also does not include proposals to cut emissions from the oil and gas industry. Jenny Marie Stryker, political director for the Alaska Center, says this plan is a good first step. She says it will allow Alaska to take advantage of the historic amount of climate funding available today.
There is such an incredible opportunity to transition in Alaska, and Alaskans know what Alaskans need. So I think it's really just a matter of getting as much federal dollars as we can out of it.
This plan is the beginning of a longer process. In order to stay eligible for federal climate funding, the state will have to produce a more detailed plan next year and set clear targets for cutting carbon emissions going forward. Meanwhile, grant applications to fund the projects listed in the most recent plan are due next month. In Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
And now for Curious Juno. KTOO's Anna Canny has this week's story.
So, you've got a beat-up pair of shoes that still have a little life left in them. Or some clothes that your kids have outgrown. Maybe old home decor that's just not your style anymore. Where does all of that stuff end up in Juneau? Dick Wood is wrestling white garbage bags and cardboard boxes out of the back of his beat-up red car.
Mostly kids' stuff.
Books, toys, and clothes that once belonged to his son, who's 35 now with a brand new baby.
Saving it for his kid, and they don't want it, so.
So, Wood is here for donation day at the Salvation Army thrift store. First, he pulls out a plastic yellow horse that's mounted on rusted springs.
Yeah, that's a nice little horse.
He hands it off to volunteer Jamie Brayman, who sets it down in front of an empty shipping container in the store's back lot.
I had one like that back in the 60s.
Then comes a crib with a faded yellow and orange cover.
Bassinet. Vintage. Vintage is hot.
Juneau residents come here hoping to get rid of their vintage wares or their junk every Saturday. Behind Wood, there's a line of cars that spills over into the parking lot across the road. Once the shipping container fills up, everyone who's left is turned away. On some weeks, the store gets too full and they have to stop accepting donations altogether. When that happens, you might be stuck lugging around a bunch of stuff that you don't really have a use for anymore. That's happened to many people, including KTOO listener Mary McEwen.
I mean, a lot of us have, like, a bag somewhere that's like, oh, man, next time I have time on a Saturday morning for that one window where you can drop things off at Salvation Army.
For this installment of Curious Juno, she wanted to know, why is it so hard to donate things in town? And what alternatives are there when the thrift stores fill up? Back at the Salvation Army store, manager Christina Austin is directing the line of cars. She's bundled up, but the weather hints of spring. She said that usually leads to a spike in donations. Juno's seasonal residents also contribute to the ebb and flow. Austin said there's more people trying to get rid of things at the end of the legislative session or the end of the tourist season.
They just get stuff just for the season and then they fill their apartment or their studio just temporarily. So some people always say that they're just borrowing it and it's coming back to the store.
The store's capacity is mostly limited by staffing, Austin said. She's one of two full-time employees. But all the sorting and pricing is done by volunteers. Those volunteers ebb and flow with the seasons, too. Folks drop off during the holidays or over the summer, and during the height of the pandemic, a lot of volunteer groups disbanded. It's taken a while to rebuild them. Mary Ellen Frank has stuck around. She spends every third Saturday in front of a giant sorting table that's in the back of the store.
I don't know why the kitchen sink has to be here. I don't even think I could pick that. Yeah, that's an unusual. There's always something new.
Not one, but two kitchen sinks sit on the corner of the table. There's also a box of dented water bottles and a pair of headphones, a vintage teasing comb from the 1960s, and a little music box.
Sankyo from Japan.
Teeny tiny.
Frank's job is to decide what's sellable. As an avid secondhand shopper herself, she approaches the table with an open mind.
So we've got a good balance of people that are kind of like, eh, you know, get rid of it, and me like, that has so much potential.
Still, Frank estimates that they throw out about 20% of what gets dropped off. So far, she's discarded some cloth face masks, a tote bag with a torn handle, and a scorched, stained potholder. And it's not unheard of for people to donate straight-up trash. Austin worries that could become more common because of the rate hikes at the landfill. But even for perfectly usable items, Juno's thrift stores can barely keep up. The St. Vincent de Paul store in the Valley has more full-time staff, and they accept donations 4 days a week instead of just one. Store manager Sharon Mallett said they took more than 500 donations in February.
Clothing, we have an abundance of. We never lack for clothing because we get so many donated.
By March, St. Vincent de Paul had posted a sign that says, "No more clothes," in the window. If things don't sell, they might be off to the landfill. But Mallett says she does her best to divert as much as she can. She learned that while growing up in the Caribbean.
I grew up on an island, so this to me, I think I just fit right in because I remember as a kid, you made everything last or you reused it a different way.
Items that are beat up but still usable go to the St. Vincent de Paul Free Store. Shrunken sweaters are put aside for a local artist who uses them to make mittens for people experiencing homelessness. And ripped cotton t-shirts become rags that the store sells to boat owners and contractors. After local artist Mary McEwen submitted her Curious Juno question, she found herself dreaming up her own ways to reuse the clothing that she and her friends had piling up. McEwen sits at a vintage loom in her weaving studio downtown. The room is cluttered with used clothes. In one corner, a bag of denim. On the floor, a stack of misprinted t-shirts.
I have, like, this is my sock bin. This is my salvage bin. So I showed you the skeleton of pants. Here's the skeleton of a shirt.
She picks up what's left of a pink sweatshirt and cuts a strand.
I'm just going to cut this to be a little thinner. See if that looks a bit better on the loom.
Then she passes it through the threads, which are pulled taut on her loom. And she pulls back the machine's wooden arm. Eventually, the sweatshirt, along with a pair of old jeans and some scraps of cotton fabric, will become a rag rug. Rugs made from denim, wool sweaters, and even plastic bags are scattered all around the studio. These colorful woven rugs have been a way to salvage scrap fabric for hundreds of years.
What if we had this, we used this kind of old-timey solution to this current problem?
Soon she found out that her friends and family had plenty of materials for her to work with.
People were like, oh, I totally have a sack of jeans that, you know, has the crotch blown out and I can't, I mean, they're not really worth donating, but I don't want to throw them out. That's what everyone kept saying.
McEwen's rugs give them an alternative to thrift store donations. And for McEwen, it's a relief to give new life to her old clothes as a piece of usable art. In Juno, I'm Anna Canny.
For more Curious Juno stories or to submit your own question, go to ktoo.org/curious. This is KTOO.